Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show. What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with one of Max's top 10 finalists, Mitch Grant. Mitch, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Good to be here, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm so excited to spend a little bit of time chatting to you about your experiences with the challenge. But Mitch, you know, just a few days ago, you found out that you made the top 10 for the Max's January challenge. What has the past couple of days been like for you?
Look, I was absolutely ecstatic to be in the top 10. It's obviously lots of people, thousands of people in the competition Australia-wide. And, you know, it was a huge honour to have that recognition for the hard work. I was really flattered. It was exciting.
Well, mate, I must say, you know, your transformation was absolutely amazing. You should be so proud of the results that you were able to achieve. Now, look, Mitch, I know a little bit about you having reading your profiles online, but there's probably a few people listening to this who aren't sure of who you are. So would you like to tell us maybe, Mitch, where you're from, what you do for work, and who is Mitch Grant?
Well, I live in Beaumaris in Victoria. Two young boys, so a 9-year-old and 7-year-old. I'm the CEO of a tire and automotive business. Yeah, and I am coming up to 43 years of age. So, yeah, that's me.
43 years young.
43 years young, that's right.
With two young boys out in Beaumaris, Melbourne. Look, Mitch, we're going to start here by talking a little bit about why. And is it true that you've done 5 challenges with us?
That's correct. Yeah, my first challenge was back in 2017. Yeah, 2017, after I'd spent a lot of my life, I played semi-professional football and I had always stayed quite fit. And once I started my young family or started the family, I had about 4 years of really prioritising that and work, and my own personal health journey really slipped by the wayside. So, yeah, the first challenge was in 2017 and I saw it as a really good opportunity just to get back into it and reset and get rid of the dad bod.
Yeah, so that was 4-ish years ago, and you've done 5 since then, or 4 plus that one.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit of a story about why you chose to come back for that, maybe that second, that third, and then this final one in January? What made you sign up in January?
Well, I loved that first challenge, and it just taught me so much about the nutrition side of things was so new to me, and I'd always tried to eat reasonably healthy, but I just had no idea about portion sizes, and it was just such an eye-opener. So I just loved that first challenge, had terrific results. But what I found after doing that, so I did my first challenge in 17, then I made a challenge and I did another one. Mm-hmm. Bad habits just slip back in, and you sort of feel like you do this great work and then before you know it again, you're in decent shape, but you just want to get back to that really good, healthy place. And why I've kept returning. The last few years I've done the challenge each January, and, you know, you have your Christmas time and you drink too much and eat too much, and doing the challenge again in January just really gave me a good opportunity just to get myself back on the program and eat really well, feel great. But each time I've done it, I've learned so much more each time, and I wanted to come back this time. And look, my intention is to do it really every year, and I've signed up for the May challenge again. I just love it now. It's a fantastic program. It's really easy. The more you do it, you just get used to it. And my goal moving forward really is to not have that up and down approach. I really want consistency and be able to just make it part of my everyday life and not go to the extreme. So,
yeah. So it's almost like embracing that fitness lifestyle is like the next step for yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. As I said about the balance side of things, I don't want to completely not drink alcohol and be out for dinner and not enjoy a good meal with friends. And so I think with each challenge, I've learned a really good balance. I'm learning more and more about my body and how it responds to certain things. And the challenge this time, again, has been about a good balanced lifestyle that's sustainable for me.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me, you kind of mentioned that you were doing a challenge at the start of each year. When it wasn't challenge time for you, were you still going to the gym and being active and stuff?
Yeah, I was. And I've always enjoyed going to the gym. I love a structure. I love goals. And that's one thing that I found I didn't have in the off period and not doing the Max's challenge. I love working toward that 4 weeks, and I love working toward the 8 weeks. And last year, I really noticed how much I missed it. And I was really looking forward to signing up again in January and doing it all again. And I've enjoyed this one so much so that I'm going to do back-to-back challenges and probably do the next one after that. And off we go. So good.
Mitch, what you've described is a pretty common thing I see within the fitness industry generally, right? Where I meet people who are gym goers. They go to the gym. They've been going to the gym for the past 20 years, right? But what they might be lacking is that goal-orientated thing. And you kind of get stuck in this rut and you don't really have any reason to push a little bit harder or to, you know, do an extra set or to do a drop set or to diet a little bit or anything like that. We just kind of get in the motions, right? Yeah. And some people use bodybuilding shows. Some people use powerlifting events. Some people use things like, a wedding just to get back on the horse, as you would. But, you know, using the challenge is a very viable approach where, okay, you might not do every single challenge back to back, but you're still incorporating the fitness lifestyle, you're training, you're eating well, you're maybe going out here and there, no issues there, but then you're using the challenge to kind of like focus on getting that result, something to strive on, which is awesome to see. It shows with the results that you have, right?
Yeah. I love that. And yeah, as you say, if I'm not working towards something of a goal, just merges and it becomes a little bit harder to get to the gym and the motivation just wanes a little bit. And once you're in the zone after finishing that 12 weeks, you feel so fantastic that you just want to keep it going. It's really addictive stuff. I want to keep that enthusiasm going throughout the year. And I feel the best way to do that is just to sign up for the challenge again and keep hitting the goals.
So good. Look, Mitch, let's talk about some challenges. And you've kind of alluded to some already, you know, having younger kids and being a CEO of your own company. Can you speak about some of the challenges that you've faced over the past 4 years of your challenge-like career so that you can continue to go to the gym and eat well and such? Like, can you talk about some of the challenges that you faced?
Yeah, well, as I said, there was a good 4 year block there that I really didn't do much. I stopped playing football and just couldn't get to the gym because once I got home from work, it was pretty busy, just couldn't get an hour. Well, if I did, I'd feel guilty. I couldn't get an hour just to get out to the gym. So one thing I thought, it was so important to me to get myself happy with how I was. And that's not just physically, but mentally as well, that you just feel fantastic when you're eating right and you're training. And, you know, so the only time I could really do that, I was doing a degree as well through a few of those challenges. So, you know, I'm working, studying, young family. And so I'd go to the gym at 5 a.m., which initially, it's quite difficult, but again, I just love it now. The gym's pretty quiet. You get in, you get out, you feel fantastic for the day. And it's funny, the more you do, the more you can squeeze into a day when you're eating right and you're training right, you feel like you can do more. As I said, I was studying and working. It was never too much. I was never stressed because I just felt fantastic inside and out and I just thrived on it. It was really addictive stuff.
I think I can relate to that in one short story. It was back when I was at uni studying my osteopathy degree. And I remember sitting in a lecture theater and listening to a professor tell me about the inflammatory response. And for me, I've always struggled with physiology and I was like really trying to focus. I was writing notes, I was following along. And when we were on a break in uni lecture, I caught up with some of my friends and they're like, oh, Steve, like, how are you able just to keep up with all of that? And at the same time, I was sitting there eating like a salad in front of them being like, oh, it's fine. Just follow along and you can like keep up with it, right?
Yeah.
And the difference that I was at uni versus some of my mates was that I was prioritizing my food that I was eating. I was prioritizing training. And these are things that were important to me. And because of that, I was able to study better. And you might have found that as well. Like by looking after your body, you become probably better at your work, you're better at studying, you're better within your family. And some people look at that as being really selfish, as looking after yourself. But then with that, you get, I don't know, a bit of a superpower where you're like, oh, I can actually do all these things and feel good, right? Did you experience something like that?
Absolutely. It was one thing, again, I had no idea about. I read one of the past challenges and they were talking about how great you feel mentally and the clarity of thought. And that's nearly instantaneous. So the first week of good eating and training, you really feel good mentally. And I certainly definitely relate to that, that once I was getting into this rhythm and training and eating well, I felt I was contributing so much better in all aspects of my life. And my energy levels were great. So weekends and time with the kids were fantastic. And I wouldn't sleep in. I'd get up early even on the weekends and, you know, the rest of the family is still sleeping in, but I'd go to the gym and then sit up and have a coffee and really look forward to starting the day. you can definitely contribute more to work, play, family, study if you're looking after yourself. So yes, it sounds selfish, but it's not selfish. You really can. Everyone benefits from looking after yourself.
I love that. Well, look, Mitch, let's talk about some places where you might have learned some things. So again, over like that 4-year like period, can you speak to us a bit about some of the things that you might have learned along the way, or maybe even changed your mind along the way? Because the challenge itself has come a long way since 2017. Yeah. So were there some things that you might have changed your mind about or learned throughout that period of training?
Yeah, look, the diet side of things was a real eye-opener. With the amount of training that you do, and to really only have 100 to 130 sort of grams of protein out of each meal, that was incredible. How many times you go out for dinner? How many times you sat down and had a 100-gram steak? You can't get a 100-gram steak. So that was a real eye-opener that basically you're overeating for every meal. And it doesn't sound like a lot of food, but every meal is a big meal, but you've just got to mix it up with different vegetables. And so, like, I learned so much on how to cook and how to be satisfied in every meal, and that was something that certainly changed from the 2017 challenge. Like, carbs were cut out, I think, reasonably early, and so I'd find myself, you know, I was quite hungry, but as the challenges have evolved, the diet side of things is so much easier. And it was challenging at the start to get used to that, but now after every meal, I feel fantastic. It's very filling. You're eating the right things at the right times. And I mean, sometimes people say, oh, you're on a diet. And it's like, well, no, I'm not. Like, it's just eating the right food at the right times. And I can just about guarantee I eat more food than you. So that was a real eye opener. And I think I've got in, and, you know, after doing the challenge a few times, I think I've got into such a zone now that the diet is just second nature. It's easy to do. You know, I've even found, like, if I start to meal prep during the week, there's a Subway option sort of thing that, you know, calorie wise is all good. And so you don't have to go to McDonald's. I've found really good ways of managing my diet, and it's really second nature and it's no problem. And the other thing is the training. I've used to go to the gym as a young kid and have always done so. The program really showed me how to train properly. And there's been times where I've gone to the gym year on end, and you, by not squeezing out those last few reps and really getting the most out of yourself and walking out of the gym quite exhausted, you just don't get the changes that you can get. And in 12 short weeks, you're achieving more so than I've ever achieved in just going through a mediocre gym approach for 12 months. So, yeah, the diet education and how to train properly is just invaluable. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think I have like a little vendetta out to like kill diets, right? Where you described it, where people have a certain image of being on a diet that they have to cut out all the food. They have to have these little, maybe, I don't know, rabbit meals where they're just like a few pieces of lettuce leaves and maybe like you get one almond if you're lucky, right? But I think having been there myself, where you're on a really restricted diet and you feel like the walking dead, and you really don't have to eat like that to feel good, feel happy, be lean, be confident in your skin. And I think it's really powerful when you can feel empowered that you can eat what you like. You can go out to a takeaway shop like a Subway and be like, oh, well, I can eat this and not feel guilty. I can go out to a restaurant. I can go out with my friends and be like, oh, I feel comfortable and in control of my portion sizes so that I can have these foods. And then I think what's even more powerful is imagine the message that you're sending to your young boys where you go, hey, if you want to look after your body, these are the foods that you have to eat. They're not much different from what you're normally eating. You just have to make some smart decisions.
Yeah.
So I think just talking about that nutritional side of things and talking maybe about meal prep and family time, did you find that you were able to have a similar meal to the rest of your family, or were like your boys getting involved with you doing meal prep, or what was it like at dinner time at the family house?
It is a little bit challenging at times. My kids are pretty fussy eaters, but I was trying to make meals that would suit me and suit them, which it was challenging. And in the end, my kids are a meat and three veg type. Like, I just don't have to complicate it. But the meal preps, I eat a very similar thing every night and I love it. It's like a minced turkey, stir fry, vegetable, rice or pasta type thing. Really easy stuff. So I cook it at the same time that I sort kids out, and my meal takes 5 minutes, if that, to prep. I tend to prep on a Sunday. I'll have all my shopping, all my vegetables ready. I chop them all up, put them all in containers so that it's a matter of putting my portion of protein in the fry pan and just handfuls of vegetables and salad and pasta, and that's it. So it's very, very simple. Sundays are prep times and it's easy. But if I do struggle with that prep time, I have a backup plan, and that is, you know, things like Subway and this 6-inch healthy chicken strips or something like that. And it's easy and it's good and it's good to mix it up. But yeah, the kids don't eat what I eat.
Yeah. Look, Mitch, let's talk a little bit about change. So if you were to jump in your little time machine and go back to 2017 and that very first challenge, can you talk to us or give us a little bit of a super summary about how your life has changed over that 4-year period of doing the challenges?
Look, as I said, the mental side of things is huge for me. Work can be really stressful at times, and family life, and things get really, but as I said, if you do look after number one, you can feel like you can do almost anything. And I just wish I had have stumbled across the challenge earlier. Like, it's easy to do. You do have to structure yourself. You do have to prioritize some time to get to the gym and your meals and so on. But the difference in my life now and how I go about my day and how much I can squeeze into a day is just so far apart to what it was like pre-2017. I really feel energized every day and attack every day with excitement. And I don't mean to sound corny, but it really is all because of the challenge. It's given me such a fantastic view on life and makes me feel fantastic. So it's addictive to just sort of keep it going. So I honestly wish I had have known what I know now back when I was playing football. You just feel fantastic. So it would have been nice to know back when I was a 20-odd-year-old.
Yeah, I sometimes wish that of myself, but I'm 28. So I'm not super young or old.
You're not super old like me. Yeah.
No, not like you. No. If I knew what I knew now, like 10 years ago when I was 18, I'm like, oh, the gains. Look, Mitch, let's talk about advice now. So someone came up to you and they wanted to get fit and healthy, or they were thinking about signing up to the challenge themselves. What advice would you give that person?
It's pretty simple. Just do it and commit. And because I have done it a few times, I've had a number of friends do the, wow, it's incredible. Like, we'd love to get fit too. And so I had 5 of my friends do it, this challenge as well. Mm-hmm. And we had a little WhatsApp group going. And for the first time really ever, I had a friend to go to the gym with in the morning, which was fantastic. Again, it helped me train harder. And I said to my friends, because all of them say, oh, wow, 12 weeks, 3 months, it sounds, you know, that's huge. I might do 4 weeks. And, you know, once they get into that 4 weeks, they end up, they're in, they're excited. But I say to them all, 12 weeks, believe it or not, goes really quick. And you don't want to get 12 weeks and go, gee, it's over now. I really should have committed more. I should have done the right things. And I had a couple of friends who did that. They didn't quite get there and let things slip a little bit. It goes really quick. Just commit to the 12 weeks. And honestly, what's 12 weeks in the scheme of things? And that's the way I looked at a challenge. I'd been unhappy with mentally and inside and out, and that was 4 years. What's 12 weeks in comparison to 4 years? It's over like that. And if someone can say to you, you're pretty much guaranteed of being in the best shape of your life after 12 short weeks, you're crazy not to have a crack at it.
I like it. That's quality advice. And you're right. Like, 12 weeks is going to pass whether you like it or not. And you decide now if you want to get in the best shape or close to the best shape of your life in 12 weeks, or just watch it go past again and wish you could have done it again, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So your buddy that you trained with in the morning, do you think he was the difference between taking out top 10 and not in this challenge?
I definitely think it helped, because it was great. We worked really hard, and he hasn't been much of a gym guy in the past, and he looks fantastic. He's probably a little bit shyer than what I am, maybe. So he didn't do his photos, but I reckon he'll do it next time.
Yeah.
But his results were sensational. And he had a couple of, he had to go away with his family a couple of times during the challenge. So there was a week or two there where he hit a hurdle or two, but he got back on the horse and trained hard and tightened the diet, and his results were incredible. So it sort of shows you that you can still do your social things. You can still have your holidays and that sort of stuff, but you can still get back on and, you know, really, really maintain a really healthy lifestyle. But it was really good having a mate at the gym. It's been fantastic. So he's fully engaged in it now as well, and he can't wait for the next challenge, and we're going to hit it again in a week or so.
It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good.
Yeah.
Look, Mitch, let's wrap it up there. I do want to say thank you for donating some of your time to be part of the challenge podcast. Again, you should be so proud of the result that you've been able to achieve in this challenge across all the challenges in your challenge career. And thank you for inspiring the people around you, your friends and your family to live a better life and inspiring people in our online communities to give the challenge a go and get in the best shape of their lives. So, mate, thank you and congratulations.
Thanks, mate. And thank you for having me today. It's been terrific talking to you. And look, thank you to the Max's Challenge and the coaches. And it's really life-changing stuff. I've absolutely had a ball with it. So I really appreciate it. Love the supplements. They're fantastic. And it's been an honor. So thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.